The future of the MCU has never been brighter, and I think Marvel Studios has made it pretty clear the direction that they want to take the MCU, kind of starting after X-Men 97, Deadpool, Wolverine, and then after Avengers Secret Wars. And today we're going to talk about what exactly to expect from the MCU, from Deadpool and Wolverine to Secret Wars to after Secret Wars. And today I brought on Law.
Hello, everyone.
Law. Everybody should remember Law. He's been on plenty of times. You'll see him again. And today we're going to talk about the future of the MCU. Now, Law, I see Nightcrawler behind you.
Yes, I got Kurt behind me. I got Scott on my desk, and there's I just spotted right here on under my desk. I just remembered I had these lying around.
Dude, I have some too.
these are straight up dangerous.
Dude, they're really dangerous. Show everybody while I grab mine. Oh wait, yeah, no, this is me.
these are crazy. They're like not necessarily sharp, but they're not sharp.
Dude, no, they are.
Like, this is metal.
I have the
like,
same ones.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
What do your handles look like? Do they look like this? Like they're the exact
knives.
Same.
They're literally yeah, just
we bought
knives.
The exact same ones. And yes, they are. They're metal. I don't know if you have a little crazy. ASMR here.
Yeah.
Dude, and they are. No, they came with like tip protectors, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And no, then I don't know where those are sharp. Anymore.
I don't either because I
okay, I have a couple in here, but
yeah, no, but they're crazy. They're crazy. It's really cool how they look though and how they work.
I got these as a birthday present and I was like, dude, you're gonna nice. I'm gonna die one day.
Nice.
I love them. I love them at the same time.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, they're crazy awesome. And they play in perfectly to what we're talking about, obviously, because the future of the MCU, but Hugh Jackman returning as Wolverine and I think about the new Wolverine.
Mm-hmm.
Because as we were doing this, I'm like, yo, Feige, watch this.
Wolverine,
what's up? You know,
yeah.
I'm the height for it too. Actually, I'm not like 5'3", 5'4".
You're actually taller than he should be.
Yeah. I am taller than he should be, but I'm not Hugh Jackman tall.
Who's literally a foot? I want everyone to remember he's literally a foot taller than comic book Wolverine.
he's 6'4", 6'3".
He's 6'3", I think. 6'3". Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Well. So with Deadpool being the multiversal film that it is, bringing in, you know, the older X-Men and variants of X-Men, which I'm really excited about. But that combined with what we're seeing right now with X-Men 97, everybody's freaking out and they're just kind of like, dude, the X-Men, this is insane. And so now we've heard that Marvel Studios they're like almost done with the hiring process of the writers for the new X-Men film that is coming to the MCU. This is going to be the start of something just completely different because if they can do what they did in X-Men 97 live action, like it's done. Like these are going to be the best superhero movies ever made. Like, what do you think about that?
I mean, I went to the premiere of the X-Men 97. So I watched three episodes and I remember leaving the theater just thinking like, if this is any indication of like how Marvel Studios is going to treat X-Men in live action, we are in such good hands. You know what I mean? There was so much about it that I was like, no, this is someone put it in the way that it was just like X-Men 97 makes you feel how you felt as a kid. When you like actually are paying attention, it's very adult and it's very like, it's pretty well written for a quick show. Like every episode packs a punch. And I really hope that means like the live action will also carry this kind of like this weight. And obviously there's stuff that you could only do in animation, but it's also at this point, Disney, Marvel, they have a lot of money to make those things a reality. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so even the fact that Kevin Feige was like stated saying like, or like they said that he had thought about making it canon to the MCU. I'm just like, okay, cool. So like, give us a taste of that in its own new form, if that's what it ends up being. Yeah.
Well, and it kind of is. So we're in a weird era right now where the MCU doesn't mean the one timeline that we're used to, right?
Yeah.
So it is in the MCU. They've actually added it on Disney Plus to the multiverse saga, like sub part to it.
Okay.
So it is in the MCU, but now the MCU consists of essentially infinite universes.
Yeah, that makes sense. So
it's like, you know what I mean? It's like not in the main MCU timeline, but in the MCU.
Yeah.
But I think everyone is thinking what you just thought. I think everyone is thinking that if they can just capture this, what they've done. And like you said, it is, you know, you can do a lot more in animation than you can with live action.
With the extravagance of the powers that are at your disposal. A
group and like just the mutants, right. And the uniqueness of how the powers are used. Like Cyclops is so awesome, man. So and don't even get me started on what they did to Rogue in the original X-Men series. Because it's like watching her here and I'm like, man, y'all screwed Rogue over in the first one. It's like, wow. Like, this is how Rogue should be. This is how Cyclops should be, because he got screwed over in the first one as well. It was really just about, you know, Wolverine, Magneto, Professor X. You know? The big focus on Wolverine. And that's actually something they kind of jumped away from in X-Men in 97.
Which I
love. He's not really the main person, right? I love Jean. I love Madeline and Cyclops. It's so you're talking about stuff for adults. Like, if they can bring this into the live action, into the if this is the future, deep stories with great action, Marvel Studios is just gonna blow everything away.
Yeah,
like everything away. And I'm not just talking like, oh, they're gonna blow DC away. And I don't like to, I don't want to pit them against.
You're not pitting them against each other,
right? That's not what I'm saying, because I'm really looking
from a blockbuster
blockbuster standpoint. Yes, exactly. Like, it's just going to, because I love how deep the whole Madeline, Jean, and Scott situation is, because it's like, it's so deep, and it's so, it's like no one's wrong, right, in the situation, which makes it really hard. It's neither Madeline or Jean's fault that they were cloned. It's not their fault that they don't know who's who. It's not Scott's fault that there's now all of a sudden two of them, especially because it's like, well, I'm in love with Jean, but Madeline just had my baby.
You know, and there's a part of him that will love her forever. You know what I mean?
Right, like, exactly. So it's that's deep, man. Yeah. And then at the same time, Jean gets a little confused and kisses Logan. And Logan's loved her since he's freaking known her, right? But he's such a stud about it, right? You know, hey,
bro, don't even get me started on Emma Frost showing up. And like, I know, I'm like, oh man, she's gonna get involved too. And that's the thing that I don't know if people realize, if they're only like, if their only example of the X-Men is like the live action movies. You don't know how deeply they all enter. It's like a very incestual kind of group of heroes. You know, you got Wanda and Scarlet Witch, you got like you know, Logan has been with everybody. I feel like
there's even alternate timelines where he's with Storm, you know,
but like, exactly. And, but that's what I really liked about X-Men 97. I was like, oh dang, some of this show is like straight up just like kind of sexy, you know what I mean? Like, like Goblin Queen stuff. I was just like, okay. And then they gave us stuff like episode 5, which was just insane to watch. And then even the most recent episode, when you're watching this, what was it, episode 7 that it was?
The last one,
Man, like what you said, like they gave Rogue all this power. They did the powers right. They have homages to things. One of my friends is a storyboard artist on this show, and he like was playing Marvel versus Capcom. So like the spin kick that Rogue does, he pulled that straight from the game. Dude, and it's also like, it's also
I've seen a lot of people like comparing the two of them. Like, yeah, you know, like
that's exactly screen, right.
Like a clip on top, clip on bottom, like. Capcom or whatever, you know, Marvel vs. Capcom, all that stuff. Yeah, it's crazy.
But that's what I like, is that the people behind this show are legitimately fans who grew up with X-Men. And then, you know, he was, I saw his setup. He was drawing, but next to his like drawing easel, he had a gaming cabinet and would play and watch. And that's why Cyclops like moves concussively with his powers in this. It's like, I love that they gave it that detail. And so if the MCU follows suit, that sounds like a win to me.
Well, it sounds like, first of all, I agree with you. And that's really awesome to know. That is actually really cool, because I can tell. I was like, some of these mechanics seem like I have the game right behind me. Like, like, I literally have it. Like, this says Marvel. This is like X-Men. This is like X-Men. Marvel superheroes. Marvel superheroes versus Street Fighter, X-Men versus Street Fighter, Marvel versus Capcom, Marvel superheroes War of the Gems. Plus, there's a lot more on there that aren't advertised. Like, I play them, right? It's not just there. Like, I actually play them, and I played them as a kid.
Yeah, totally.
So my dad owned a skate park when I was a kid. This was when I was like 10, 11, 12. I think from like 10 to 12, and a bunch of games like were in there. Like Galaga, I'm insanely good at Galaga. But I'm really good at the games like this too. But I digress. Going back to caring, I think this was the biggest thing for X-Men 97 and Deadpool. Because clearly, Ryan Reynolds just put so much love into Deadpool. Totally.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah.
And I know personally, excuse me, that he's been working on the script for like years and years, like years and years. And that's why Deadpool already looks freaking amazing. And everybody who's seen footage of it, like CinemaCon, they're like, wow, it is amazing. And like people who are talking about it, like, yeah, it's a game changer, right? Mm-hmm. So it's all about caring. And I think that's something that Marvel's been missing, because they've just hired directors that weren't suited for the job, hired writers that weren't suited for the job. They were giving people chances, which is always fine. But I think what they were missing was giving the right people the right chances. Like, it's cool to give people chances who are like up and coming, you know, or maybe no one took a shot for them yet. And that's fine, but you have to find still the right category of people to give that opportunity to, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You have to give it to these super fans. You have to give it to the people who are actually going to care, right? And that's kind of the problem, I think, sometimes. Like, I think people didn't like The Eternals so much because it didn't feel like a Marvel movie, right? Mm. It felt like they were trying to make this big cinematic masterpiece that people... It almost felt like they were trying to make something that people could be like, oh, wow, Marvel really is almost cinema, like, right? You know what I mean?
Like award bait, but a super movie.
Something like that, right?
Yeah.
And I actually found The Eternals to be a lovely movie. Like, I didn't mind it at all. Definitely didn't hate it. I thought it was good. Not great, but good. But in my mind, I'm like, you know what? You are Marvel. Just embrace it. Like, just make Marvel movies. That's what we like. And hire the people who want to geek out about the characters that they're going to be writing and directing. Right. Like, I think that's why it's a good idea that they got like Destin Daniel Cretton back for, you know, Shang-Chi 2 and stuff like that. Cause it's like, do what works, guys. Like, you can take chances on people, but make sure they really care. And I think the best part about this all is that Marvel's realized this.
I think
they've realized this. And even Bob Iger seems to be doing good things with Kevin Feige. Excuse me. And I think it's a really good sign. And I think after, well, now during, but after X-Men 97 has released now and the Deadpool trailer and stuff, and after Deadpool releases, and I just already know Deadpool's going to crush it, right?
Yeah.
$1 billion movie. Who knows? But I'm pretty sure it's going to hit $1 billion. And I'm pretty sure fans are going to love it. And I think after that, they're going to realize, oh, this is what fans want.
Yeah. Right?
You know, it's not just about cameos. It's not just about the action, but it's about actually really the story and the individuality of certain characters.
Yeah.
Right. Who are the characters diving deep into their story? Cause that's kind of the thing. Like, the thing with Wolverine is in X-Men 97 is like, everybody pretty much knows who Wolverine is. And everybody pretty much knows that he is in love with Jean Grey. And really, besides that, those are really the only things that he kind of focused on, that they focused on for him. I mean,
yeah.
And besides that, he's not really in the spotlight, right? He's there fighting, and the action sequences were awesome.
Yeah.
And I'm not an animated show fan, really, but it really is awesome.
Yeah.
But then the times where they do focus on him are those really deep underlying stories, right, that come with Wolverine, with Jean, right, with Scott.
Yeah.
And the same thing goes for like Morph, right? It's pretty deep when they're like, oh, yeah, I can show you where Mr. Sinister is because he freaking experimented on me, right? It's it's not something light. And that's kind of how it is for, you know, and Storm, you know, like losing her powers, all this stuff. Yeah. Like, they're doing a really good job. And this is something that I feel like has just been missing in a lot of movies just in general. They did a really good job of making us really care and invest in these characters.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, Rebel Moon, there's so many characters that, like, isn't there like a scene in the second one where it's like they literally sit down and like almost introduce who everybody is?
It's a scene that should have been in the first part, because they literally sit down around a table and said, like, if we're going to work together, we need to all know each other's backstories. Who's
first. Right. Right. It's like,
go down. Yeah.
Oh no. Right.
And you can't do that. Right. Like, you want to do that because
you're not going to care. That's not how you come to care about characters.
No. I think also just to your point, when the MCU started, there was a really big, like, there was an excitement over it being like, oh, you know, Winter Soldier's like a spy espionage film. Thor is kind of this fantasy realm thing. Ant-Man's a heist film, you know, like it had like the uniqueness of each character kind of owning a genre in a way. But then that all kind of blended in together as things crossed, right? And then I think we've talked about this on the podcast before, but it's like we all knew that Marvel was going to have to get a little weird, especially during the multiverse saga. Like we all saw it coming, right? Yeah, Eternals was a big part of that, being like, oh, it's going to get cosmic and weird, and like the concepts are going to be bigger and not just about superheroes in New York. You know what I mean? And then, but I think exactly what you're saying is like now that we've gotten through kind of like, because that's a big picture thing to set up. And now it's like, okay, now that we know how the multiverse works, who do we bring in from where? Like, how do we, you know? And then, and it's exactly what you said, like, focus on the character, find a good person at the helm to write it and to also direct, to just like the understand and care about the history of the character. Because I think that comic book fans want that more than anything, is like a pretty good adaptation, maybe not direct adaptation, but a pretty good adaptation that's still exciting in some way. And that's why, like, the X-Men 97, not to keep bringing it up, but that's why it works so well.
It's perfect.
It's like, man, these are comic book storylines kind of just adapted to a smaller section. Like, spoiler alert, we're like talking about Bastion, which is like, if you know Bastion's backstory, it's like, fuck, this is like deep lore now. You know what I mean? Like, and so I'm excited for it. But you're exactly right though. Like, we need to, like, it's kind of like just finding those like it's like specialty projects, you know? That's how we should be treating it. Like, Werewolf by Night.
Everything needs to be special.
Yeah.
That is the thing that I've been noticing that Marvel Studios has been working to do lately, and that is why they were so successful before, because each time we got a movie from Marvel, it was a big special event.
Yeah.
Right? You couldn't wait to see the next one.
Yeah.
And so that was a problem with the, you know, Disney Plus. You know, we went from two movies a year to, they wanted to do 3 to 4 movies a year and like 6 Disney Plus shows and special presentations and Halloween specials and stuff on top of that. No way the studio could keep up with that, right?
No way.
So the projects didn't end up becoming special. And like, yes, they put more time and effort on WandaVision and Loki because those were the first ones, right? But after that, they're like, okay, we have all these other ones to work on. Let's go. But they're not doing that anymore. And I do believe they are trying at least to give each project that special touch.
Yeah.
So with the X-Men, Feige knows the future is the X-Men and the Fantastic Four. Like, he knows it.
Back to that Fox world, I guess.
Yeah, where he started. He literally started with the first X-Men film. Like, I think he was a junior producer, associate producer, something like that. But it's just, it feels cool because also at the same time with the Fantastic Four coming and the new X-Men coming and a reboot of the MCU that will allow Iron Man, Captain America, Black Widow to return and new original Avengers to return as well. That's really exciting because you can start from ground zero, because one of the best things about the multiverse, or sorry, the Infinity Saga was, is that they were so special because they really did take their time to build it up, right? We have an Iron Man movie, Hulk, Captain America, Thor, then we have an Avengers movie, right? And then we went back to those same characters because why? Because we were invested in them. Those are the characters that we loved, right? They do that with the X-Men. It's game over. Like, game over. Like, you do that with the X-Men and the Fantastic Four, and people are going to care so much about these characters and so much about these movies that no matter what, they're going to go see them, right?
Yeah.
And it's just going to be, and that, but that is the future that I'm super excited for. To feel, it's almost like X-Men 97 is a perfect example again. It's almost like I loved the original animated series that I watched when I was 5 years old, and I love this new one. Now, I almost feel like that's what it's going to feel like once the new next saga of the MCU happens. It's going to feel like the beginning of the Infinity Saga with the very first Iron Man film, when we get like a Cyclops solo movie for the first time, Professor X solo movie, right? And then they build the X-Men up to be a team. Then they interact with Fantastic Four. Then you build up new Avengers, and then they all interact together. Like, whatever the next saga is, the next couple sagas are after this saga are going to be bigger than the Multiverse saga.
Yeah. I can definitely see that. Yeah. I mean, there's so much history, and like, there's so many characters. There's so many ways you can group them, you know?
Oh, totally.
And on top of that, you know, there's, I don't know, we're like with all the cosmic stuff, that's also just as big as like the multiversal stuff. Like there are so many characters that you can just dive into that come from space that could work with the Fantastic Four. Doom himself, like, you know what I mean? Like
that's going to be the.
Yeah. And like, that's an exciting thing because like, you know, any comic fan knows how integral Doom is to a lot of the horrible things and events that happen.
He has to be like,
a major player.
He it's really hard to say this, but I think a lot of people regard him as the greatest.
I mean,
Marvel villain of all time.
He's like so resilient and like he does like the little, you know, the little threats and then world universe ending threats. You know what I mean? Like I don't disagree with that statement. He may not be the first one to come to mind, but then as soon as he's brought up in conversation, you're like, yeah, Doom is like the big bad.
He's got to be top five always, though.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
There's some great Marvel villains out there, but he has to be top five. Like,
yeah,
he's one of the greatest villains of all time. He's, you know, it's like the Joker. It's like, yeah, the Joker is one of the greatest villains of all time, right? It's Doom for Marvel, I feel.
But to your point, though, like seeing Doom and Reed. And like that relationship, I want to see that. I would love to see.
I want to see them go to college together.
Yeah, I want to see a lot. You know, like, and I'm so curious about like the setting of Fantastic Four, and how it's gonna mix in with like all the mutant storylines. And I don't know if it doesn't feel that far away anymore. And I feel like as like a comic book fan turned, you know, comic book movie fan as well, like growing up. We've seen so many different iterations of these stories, and then the MCU has been going on for so long that, like, you know, as a kid, I would have never dreamed of getting like this many Spider-Man movies or like live action anything. You know what I mean? And then now I feel like I've been so blessed to have all of this history, and then to kind of get it right, because like Deadpool just in general, they nailed like that kind of like energy of the comics and like the fun of it all. And so I'm like, now that like the MCU is kind of perfected, like what a good superhero film looks like, that makes me so excited for like whatever is past like Secret Wars and whatnot. You know what I mean? It's crazy. It's crazy to think that we've gotten here, because it's like, it's been a long time coming, which is crazy.
It has been. When you said all that, I was thinking, I was like, man, I actually remember in Spider-Man 2. Mm. When they were trying to come up with the name for Doc Ock, and they're like, Dr. Strange. I'm like,
yeah, I remember that too.
I was like, what? And then you start to think like, man, maybe some of these heroes could actually interact with each other. Yeah. Maybe it could be like the X-Men animated series where you have the Spider-Man crossover, where you have the Avengers crossover, where and your mind gets thinking. And then all of a sudden, 20 years later, here we are.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
And but back to that point, back to the point of really our entire subject today, right now, the multiverse saga of Secret Wars, it is going to be fantastic.
Yeah.
But and it's fantastic in its own separate way that it's old original Fox characters, X-Men. Yeah. But then building new X-Men up, or like doing a first class storyline, right? Yeah. With the first X-Men team.
Yeah.
With Scott, Jean, Iceman.
I would love that. To be
Angel,
honest.
Beast. Yeah, I mean, you know, and then, you know, building those individual characters up, or building those stories up to eventually form the X-Men. Like, you don't even have to call the first movie X-Men. You call it First Class, right?
Yeah.
And then you build it up to eventually what we know now, building it up with the Fantastic Four, building it up with a new Avengers team, and then having them come together, all being from the same universe, going to fight a cosmic threat. Right, like the future that we're. That's why I say the next saga, next two, because I don't know how long that's all going to take.
Totally,
is going to be better than what we're doing now. Don't get me wrong; this is going to be super special. And I almost feel like it's going to be more nostalgic and heartfelt because of all the cameos from, you know, the OGs and stuff like that. Yeah. Like they're going to be, I shouldn't even say one's better, but they're going to hit differently.
Yeah. I mean, if you think about the way No Way Home made me, I think about how it made me feel in the theater, even just like Infinity War and Endgame, like even just like subtle callbacks, but then now it's been so long since those movies, like, I don't know if they can give them the same respect that, like, because I think that they really respected Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man, and
they
and,
did. They did a lot of justice to him,
and they honored Tobey's as well. You know, like, do I want to know more about their universes? Yeah, fuck yeah, and like I hope it almost opens up an opportunity for them to like continue their stories in their own way.
Yeah,
but like when I think about like the Fox characters that have gone through a lot, like how many times have they retconned that timeline?
You know what I mean? It's so messy. Yeah.
And so if they can leave them, because that's a problem, man. Like those characters in like Dark Phoenix, I think was the last live action X-Men movie they did.
I think so.
And I was just like, man, you really went off the rails here, because X-Men First Class felt like a great redirection of where we were going to go. Days of Future Past was pretty solid. We had Logan, but then it, like, you know, what happened to Apocalypse? What happened to Dark Phoenix?
Right.
And so now it's like you said, like, it's like not only honoring the legacy of that, all those movies, but to like give them all like a proper maybe send off and then start fresh, you know, same characters, new lens, you know, like I'm so excited for that.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking forward to. Kind of a justification for some of these characters and then a fresh start. I actually think we need a fresh start.
Yeah.
I think we're at that point. I think we're at that point. I really do. And it's all really exciting.
Yeah.
But I know that the future is super bright because of the X-Men. Yeah, because I'm just so excited, man. I'm so excited. And you know Kevin Feige is excited too. That's where he started.
This is like the one he's wanted. You know what I mean?
X-Men is the Fantastic Four and the X-Men are like what he's been waiting for. He's super excited.
Yeah.
And you know he is going to care. He does care, but he's going to make sure other people care. Totally. And he's not going to approve anything that's not going to work.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited for the future.
Me too.
I hope we've helped anybody watching / listening be excited for the future. And if you're not, let us know. Let us know why.
Yeah, and why
not? But if you are, please let us know how excited you are in the comments.
Yeah.
Show Law some love in the comments. He will be back. He's been here before, and he will be back. Thanks for being here today, Law. And let us know some subject topics for our next podcast. If you have any in mind, let us know in the comments down below. Otherwise, we will catch you all next time. Woof, woof.